Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. My name is Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Anyway, welcome to another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio, subscription-supported radio program produced by Leo Scorpio Productions. I have had such an overwhelming response. Do you know what I heard? I heard that there are no Silver Birch books left in the city right now, that they are gone, that I called every bookstore. And, you know, the funny thing is, that's why we read Silver Birch on this show, because they're rare. Now, in case you don't know this, these books are from England, and they cost an arm and a leg to import. But, you know, I got so many calls yesterday from people going, Farley, we wanted you to read some more of that. That I decided that I was going to continue today's topic with where I left off yesterday. Because, yeah, I did a topic on enemies yesterday, and then I read a little of Silver Birch's The Divine Plan from the book that's almost unattainable, The Pink Teachings of Silver Birch, the pink one with the Indian on the cover, Wisdom from the World Beyond. And the reason why I love Silver Birch so much is because of all the channeled books I've ever bought or read from Seth to whoever, Lazarus, whatever, this information is what I intuitively feel is the best, the most clarity, the most purest transmission. And for some reason, I feel very comfortable with it. And when a lot of my listeners hear it read by myself on the air when I'm in a higher consciousness state, it really is a very soothing experience. So I want you to know that if you're in your car driving right now, you might want to pull over, because hearing this stuff does tend to open one's chakras and space one out. And I know a lot of you have been recording Astrological Metaphysical Radio lately because you want to get these rare Silver Birch readings and have them as your own, because these books are impossible to get a hold of. What I'm going to read to you from Silver Birch on today's show will not be in the tape. And the tape is totally new information that you've never heard on the air before. That actually is Silver Birch himself speaking. So could be very, very powerful. I'm continuing here. And, you know, this is called The Divine Plan, this part of the Silver Birch book. And as I do my reader's theater here, I actually sometimes feel like Silver Birch comes in and adds things here and there, which I really feel is totally possible, because Silver Birch and I are close, as my spirit is a descendant Atlantean, Essenic, and American Indian, greatly affected by those races and those experiences. What a glorious message we have for your world of matter. A message that makes men free and teaches them to rejoice in their divine heritage. A message that teaches them to throw off all shackles and bonds. A message that teaches them to rejoice in the fullness of spiritual knowledge. A message that shows them how to live not only on the planes of matter, but on the planes of spirit. A message that brings them beauty, love, and wisdom, understanding, truth, and happiness. A message that speaks of service, service, service. And yet, we are denied by those who do not understand the revelation of the Great Spirit, and who deny the Spirit, as the power of the Spirit has been denied throughout all times. The work that we do becomes more and more necessary. Your world is full of bloodshed, tears of misery, and bitterness. In its blindness, your world will not live according to the laws of the Great Spirit. It has chosen the path that leads to darkness and to despair. We offer the knowledge that leads to hope, to light, to peace, and to harmony. Your world may despise us in its ignorance. It may reject the message that we bring. It may deny the power that accompanies us. But our great truth must prevail, for it is of the Great Spirit. Those who strive to live against the law reap for themselves the results of a bitter harvest. Those who live with the law reap a harvest of happiness and plenty, in the things of matter and in the things of spirit. Through all the darkness that prevails, do not abandon hope, but be assured in the knowledge that those who work with you for the upliftment of humankind, who strive to bring better conditions into your world of matter, will prevail. For the power that is on their side is the mightiest power in the universe. You will not achieve that which is worth achieving without travail, without sorrow. Your world must learn its lessons in the only way it can learn them. We are breaking through all over the world of matter. Our message illumines minds in every part of your world. And as the light of the Spirit breaks in on your world, so its rays disperse the darkness of your materialism. We do not seek to terrify you with threats of punishment. We do not seek to make you craven cowards, living your lives because of fear. We strive to make you realize the latent divinity that is yours, that you may express more of the Great Spirit, that you may rise to greater heights and fill your mind with greater truth and wisdom. We urge you to be dissatisfied with what you have already received, because only through discontent and the desire to reach out can greater knowledge come. He or she who is satisfied stagnates. He who is discontented struggles toward greater freedom. We never say to you, quote, "Do not use your reason, have faith only," unquote. We say, quote, "Use that which the Great Spirit has given you. Test us. Examine us. If aught that we say is debasing, cruel, or immoral, then reject us," unquote. If we seek always to teach you to live nobler lives, lives of greater self-sacrifice and of idealism, then surely that demonstrates that the hallmark of the Great Spirit is stamped upon our teaching. If we raise up one soul, if we give comfort to one who mourns, if we give hope to one who is faint-hearted, if we give strength to one who is weary, then has it not been worth doing? Think of the many whom our message disturbs, whom it puzzles, whom are perplexed, who, bound to a creed, cannot escape. Yet they hear the voice of freedom calling to their imprisoned souls, and their minds struggle to be free. They are the ones for whom the message is intended, those to whom it comes as an incentive to reach out to what before was unattainable. All truth is but a stepping stone. If you hear through the lips of the medium through whom I address, which makes your reason revolt, that which contradicts the love of the Great Spirit, that which is foolish, that which is an insult to your intelligence, then know that my day is done, and I have failed. Though I have spoken to you many, many times, I do not think I have ever said anything which is contrary to the highest aspirations of the soul. For our appeal is always to the highest that is within you. The world must learn to perform its own salvation. There is no ready-made plan. There is no prepared cut-and-dried system. Your world has to learn that behind what it regards as the manifestations of life, there is the eternal reality of the Spirit, that the children of matter are not only worldly beings, but spiritual beings expressing themselves through bodies of matter. The bodies of matter must be as perfect as they can be made through having all the necessities of life freely at their disposal, as the Great Spirit would have them. Then their spirits must be freed from all dogmatic and creedal trammels, so that they do not give allegiance to things that have no real or spiritual value, so that they work only for that which is true, so that the warring and the quarreling and the strife over creeds and dogmas, which have held your world in chains for thousands of years, can be abolished. We preach the gospel of the spiritual brotherhood of all peoples, with the Great White Spirit as the common Father. What stands in the way is the earthly conception the Church has built on error, the usurping of privilege, the pride and the power of tyrants, petty tyrants who hold the whip hand. As our teaching grows in your world, as it is now, it will mean the end of all separateness between peoples. This is not a message that is meant for all ears, because many ears would be angry and hostile as to what we would say. It will also mean the end of national barriers. It will mean the end of race distinctions, class distinctions, color distinctions, and all the distinctions between churches, chapels, temples, mosques, synagogues, for gradually all will learn that they have a part of the Great Spirit's truth, and that the part enshrined in the heart of every other religion in no way contradicts that portion which is precious to them. So out of the apparent confusion, the divine pattern will take its shape, and harmony and peace will eventually come when dogma stops. I tell you these things so that you can understand part of the great plan, the part that we who return from the world of the Spirit play in it, and the part that each one of you must play in it before your earthly course is run. I want to interrupt, because in case you just tuned in, this is 93.5 FM KFOX, and I'm Farley Malaris, and we are reading from the very rare pink book of Silver Birch, which is called Teachings of Silver Birch, Wisdom from the World Beyond, which is edited by A.W. Austin and forwarded by Hannon Swaffer. And today's topic is called The Divine Plan, which I think is extremely heavy because it totally destroys almost all the religious institutions on the planet and unites the planet under one philosophy of power of God, which lies within the individual, the spirit of the individual being. So I'm not here to offend anybody here, because this show is dedicated to open-mindedness and seeking further truth. This just happens to be some of the open-mindedness that I embrace. So I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes here. As you know, on this planet, there's a tremendous amount of hostility that now exists today, in today's current events, where religious barriers and barriers of matter and oil and power and money are causing problems, where millions of people's lives and the threat of world war are in the current scene. This is Silver Birch's way of giving us the solution. And like I say, this is not the type of program that is meant to be broadcast worldwide, because not everybody is ready to hear that. You know, what we feel here at Astrological Metaphysical Radio is that there is a generation of teachers. There's a generation of individuals that are harbingers of freedom and spirit and love and light that will help plant seeds of faith and truth and love in this world as they grow. And hopefully this will spread like a wildfire one day to finally engulf the planet and overcome some of the dogmas, limitations, and religious barriers that currently exist. So I just wanted to make that clear that I'm not trying to offend anybody. Obviously, this is not a show that is meant for religious fundamentalists. This is a show that is meant for astrologically, metaphysically open-minded conscious beings. So please understand, that's where we come from. Okay, let's continue, because we're having fun, right? What Silver Birch says, what we preach fits in with all the noble and elevated ideas that have come to the vision of all the reformers, all the saints, all the seers, and all the idealists who have striven in every age to render service. Because they were great souls, their spiritual eyes caught glimpses of life that could be, and that vision of beauty sustained them in all their adversity and struggle. They realized the spirit plan that one day will be put into practice, and so they strove to raise up the children of matter to serve. Though they were vilified, though they were opposed and ridiculed by those who came to help, their work lived on, even as the work that is being done today in countless small temples such as this will live on, though many of the people will be forgotten. The mighty power of the Spirit has been launched once again in your world of matter, and the children of matter do not possess the power to stem that mighty tide. Your world thinks it solves its problems by the shedding of blood. But no problem was ever solved in that way, for bloodshed is needless and leads nowhere. Why cannot they use the reason which the Great Spirit has given them? Why do they think that their only solution must be to kill as many as possible, that the one who is the greatest killer is accounted the victor? It is a strange world you live in. Your world needs our message, the message of the Spirit, the realization of Spirit truths, the knowledge that there are spiritual laws and guidance both from above and from within, so that in its perplexity it may learn where to turn to find comfort and guidance and help. We seek nothing for ourselves. We want no glory. We have simply the desire to be of service, to reveal once again the laws which have been forgotten, so that the world of matter may rediscover those powers of the Spirit which can bring it new hope and new life. In your perplexity, when all the old standards are being discarded, when all authorities are being questioned and their power waning, we seek to reveal the Great Spirit, the supreme authority. Through His laws, which never fail and which never err, if the world of matter will learn to order its life in accordance with those laws, peace and concord will rule once again. These things are part of the great mission which we all have to perform, so that amidst the crumbling ruins of the discarded beliefs, mankind may not reject all because of his doubt and skepticism, but may learn to sift the wheat from the chaff, the fact from the myth, and hold on to that which is precious, which is enshrined in all religions, the great truths of the spirit, long overlaid with the imaginations of the children of matter. The power of the spirit which inspired those in days gone by, which gave them vision and courage, enthusiasm and desire to serve, is available today if the children of matter will learn to look for it in the operation of those laws which are at their disposal. The authority of churches, of books, of creeds, all these are waning. They are gradually being discarded. But the authority of spiritual truths abide forever. When I return to your world, I see the confusion and the chaos, and I realize they could be dissipated if the clear light of the Spirit were allowed to penetrate, if instead of just a chink, there could be a strong illuminating ray. Why do they prefer the darkness when they could have the light? Why do they prefer ignorance when they could have knowledge? Why do they prefer superstition when they could have wisdom? Why do they prefer the dead bones of a creed when they could have the living truth of the Spirit? Why do they prefer the dust of theology when they could have the waters of spiritual wisdom? There are souls blindly groping in self-imposed darkness, chained when they could be freed, servile when they could easily be men and women of freedom. But I am afraid they have worn their chains for so long that they are afraid to discard them. A bird that is in a cage for a long time is afraid that it cannot fly when it is released. It is good when they throw off their shackles, but they must have some path which they can tread. We do not want them to be helpless without a sign. We want them to be free, but we want them to know where their freedom will lead. When you have been in bondage for a long time, there's a tendency in the newly found freedom that you will not listen to any guidance that comes to you. You say, I've had enough of all this. I've had years of doubt and perplexity. Now that I have discarded it, I do not any longer wish to be associated with that which is called religion. Sometimes, with the casting off of shackles, there is violent reaction. I do not want too much attention paid me, the individual, the messenger. I am only concerned with the message. Your world has far too long concerned itself with teachers whom it has aggrandized into exaggerated positions and forgotten what they came to teach. Our mission no longer is to exalt men and women into high places of authority, but to seek to reveal truth, knowledge, and wisdom. What does it matter whether I am a teacher of great distinction or a lowly beggar, so long as the seal of truth stamps what I say? Our appeal is no longer to names and authorities and books, but to reason alone. We demand nothing that is contrary to your intelligence. We preach nothing that you can say is untrue, that is undignified, that is ignoble, that debases mankind. We seek to reveal that which will elevate the whole human race and give its true conception of its position in life and in the universe, its relationship to the great white spirit, and an understanding of its kinship with other members of the vast human family in your world. No longer will we resort to books or teachers or authorities, but only to divine reason, and we appeal to her. Our truth will not be spread by the citation of a text said to be stamped with divine authority. If it violates reason, then reject what we say. But you will find that we appeal to the highest and the best instincts, that we only seek to brush away old falsehoods and to bring the great truth that men and women will prize. What your world calls religion must be founded on truth, and you must seek to discard all that will not stand the onslaught of reason. I am only an instrument, striving to reveal those truths which your world has had so many times and then lost, and which we are now determined shall be placed in the forefront of your world of matter, never to be lost again. This time we are striving to be certain that the forces of materialism and selfishness shall not prevail, so that your world may learn to save itself from the evil which is ready to overtake it. Only application of these truths and their ramifications in your daily lives can avert the fearful catastrophe that looms in front of you. Your world is bankrupt and chaotic. It is filled with despair and strife and bitterness. Reason has been dethroned and selfishness rules in your world. We seek to restore reason, to replace error with truth, superstition with knowledge, darkness with light, so that those who are weak in the struggle may find strength, and those who are helpless may become whole again, so that those who are tired may become refreshed, and so that those who suffer injustice may have their due. We strive to reveal these truths not only as they are known in their relation to the laws of the spirit, but also the laws of matter. For to us the world of matter is part of the universe of the great spirit, and you cannot be, quote, religious, unquote, if you are indifferent to the sufferings of despairing humanity. Those who serve are accounted as the great ones by us, and the service they render is not confined to helping the soul to find truth, for there is other service to be rendered. There is service of freeing poor, racked bodies from pain, the service of fighting injustice and tyranny, the service of fighting hate, the service of preserving freedom, and the service of abolishing the evils of your world and giving the spirit in man a chance to express itself as the great spirit desires that it should. I am sorry that the children of the great spirit have wandered so far from the things of the spirit that a rap on the table has to be used to make them understand his laws. You are all part of the great spirit, he says to you. Here are my laws, and here in you is a part of me, because there is all that can be used to make a perfect universe. I give you all the tools, and you can choose between the things that are right and the things that are wrong. You can try to work with my laws or against them. The children have chosen, but always those who are the masters in the world of spirit have to make sure that they incarnate into matter men who are so tuned to the vibrations of the great spirit that through them his work can go on. So far have the children wandered that they are blind to the things of the spirit and only understand the things of matter. But after the storms and the wind have blown through the world, where always comes the new life of spring, when the snow lies in the ground and all looks very bleak, you are not able to see the freshness of the spring, but it comes. And gradually as the great sun of life moves through the heavens of the great spirit, so the majesty of life comes to its fullest. Throughout the whole world of matter, there is a great cloud of discontent. There will come the spring of dreams and the summer of fulfillment. It will come quickly or slowly as the children of the great spirit exercise their free will. But wherever in the world of matter, one man strives to uplift one other man or woman, then behind him there are 1,000 spirits who try to make his victory a greater one. No effort for good can ever be lost. No desire to serve can ever be wasted. There must be a pioneer who hacks his way through the forest and makes the path a little easier for those who follow. Gradually the path is beaten down and worn smooth. Sometimes I see the masters in my world with tears in their eyes looking down on the follies of those who one day will realize how they have thrown away the great opportunities they had of raising up the children of the earth. And sometimes I see their faces wreathed in smiles because in your world some unknown man has rendered a service which lights a new torch of hope in the world. I, like many or others, have come near to the vibrations of the earth to help to push forward that great new world which waits just round the corner. I come to teach you the laws of the great spirit and show you how, if you live according to them, the bounty of the great spirit can be poured into your hearts and minds. I only see a world filled with sorrow that should be filled with happiness, darkness where there should be light, hunger where there should be plenty. I see that the great spirit has provided everything, and yet there are those who are preventing its distribution. There are obstacles which must be swept away. I cannot do it. I cannot even criticize. I can only tell you how the law can work if you, who are still encased in matter, will allow it to work through you. Those who must point a finger of scorn to the things of earth and show the remedies of the great spirit. Show in your own lives you know the things of the spirit because the power of the spirit is in you. If I can teach you the laws and how they work, then I rejoice. If between us we can in one case bring happiness where there was unhappiness, knowledge where there was ignorance, then at least we shall have done some service. We do not seek to take away from the responsibilities of your own lives, but only to try to inspire you to live so that men and women may know the great spirit is working through you. Whew, man, I wish I had hours and hours to read this. Today's topic was on the divine plan. I offer no offense to any people that are religious or into organized religion. The fact is I embrace all religions. I try to be a humanitarian and I have a hope and a dream and a wish one day that all religions will be united under one spiritual foundation. And that's what this show is all about. I have all religions littered all through my family. My uncles and aunts and everybody are everything. And I've studied under all religions and graduated a Methodist college. And, so I offer no offense to religious people. I just think that there's another answer, a more unified oneness, a foundation for humanity on this planet. And that's what the divine plan of Silver Birch is all about, which is what I like, so I share it with you. I'm not trying to tell you what to believe, and I don't want anyone to get mad at me.